Okay. All right. Hello. Hello. Give everyone an inch. You take a mile. So first things first, guys, just want to make us aware, if you're unaware, that this is the latest creation of what he gave me to write down. And like always, they're all free. So there's a stack here. There's a box full of them there. So come and grab as many as you want. They're no good sitting in the lockup because you think you only can have one. Take five, right, and pray over them and see who might want one, needs one. It's called The Triangle of Life, and he gave me the image, he gave me the title, and really I believe this is probably the first book out of all the books that I've written where the conviction I carry is this is the place we should start from, right? So it discusses three key elements to eternal life in Christ, and I believe if we don't get these three key elements down, we'll live an earthly life when we're promised an eternal life, and we'll wonder why we're not in life. Because we're not flowing in these three key elements, which is firstly what? Love. But if I asked you what is love, how would you answer the question? God is love, right? But many people would say love is a choice. Or love is an action. Or love is a feeling or an emotion. Is it those things or is God is love? So if God is love, is God going to affect your emotions, Chris? He'll affect everything. He'll affect your choices, but those things aren't love, but God will influence and inform those things. So we need to start from the correct beginning, which is God is love, which is where this starts from, right? So then if God is love, then what is lordship? Is it obeying God?
Yeah.
Could be, but is it at its core obedience? Do you think you cannot be in lordship, sorry, in love and obey God? So you cannot know God, not be in love with God, and still obey God, right? So then lordship can't be firstly obedience. Because if you can do it without loving God, then it can't be. So what I talk about here is love. Sorry, lordship is being in Christ. Can you separate love and Lord?
Yes.
Dave thinks you can?
No.
Is he Lord? Is he love? Is he two people?
No.
But we do, right? We separate it all out. Right? So we live in the boxes and we think, that's why I said before, you've got Jesus and you're looking for something else. Right? So if I get Jesus, but I need a wife, that'll complete me wrong. And it's because the mindset actually isn't kingdom of God, it's kingdom of world. So he is Lord, he is love. So if he is love, then he will inform what lordship really is, which is a state of being in love with Christ. Did you lose your life to love? Or did you lose it through trying to be obedient to God? I'm not saying the other one's wrong. What I'm saying is it's limited. When you lose your life for love and for love's sake, it takes on a whole different expression of now what obedience to God looks like. Because it goes from, I have to, I should, I ought to, what a bummer, to I get to, what a privilege, what an honor, why wouldn't you want to? But what's the difference between the two motivating factors? It's him. Not emotions, not choices, not actions, but him. So then if you flow from first love to lordship, which is still love, then that will inform worship. What's worship? Singing songs? Why have we made it singing songs? Why do we call the worship team Maddie Simnor up there singing? Why do we say the worship was great when we're talking about singing songs? See how we reinvent stuff and we recreate stuff and change the narrative and we wonder why we're not in life, right? Because what is worship? What does God say worship is? Rodney's pod. We had this question. What is worship, guys? laying down your life based from the motivation of I should. That's just a struggle, right? I should. I have to. I get. Well, no, no. How many people have done crazy things for love? People drive hours through the night. People take people away, mysterious holidays. Are you listening, Costello? If you didn't hear that, she said, yes, please. No problem. What do you think? We sold the building. Well, that's what I was told. Anyway. So then love informs lordship. Lordship informs worship. And worship is the evidence that you're in love. So the first act of obedience is to lose your life for his sake and the gospel's sake, not your own, which releases you from you. And then you enter into this thing called eternal life, which sits in the middle of the triangle. And the more you flow in love, lordship, and worship, defined by heaven, then this eternal life is formed within you, which just is, because Jesus is eternal life. And you're no longer looking for anything else because you found him. But not only have you found him, you found everything within him, which is why you were called, why you were born, why you were chosen before the foundations of the earth. So really then you're coming to discover who you really are. But you'll never know who you are until you've found who he is, because you didn't create you. He created you. But we've told everybody there's this individual purpose and pursuit for their life. So they're all running around trying to find that and missing eternal life, which is right in front of you. Because we create the narrative. But our narrative will never lead you into life and life abundant, even though you say you believe. And that's what I want to unpack today, this question. The outcome of belief is what kind of life, a better earthly life or an eternal life, the one you were all created for? What is the substance that makes up this eternal life? Rodney. Oh no, it's question and answer time. Have I been listening? What are the substance that makes up eternal life? Christ. Yeah, but what's the substance of Christ? What's the fruit? Yeah, so what are they? Now, are they in you? Or is that just something you spout? Oh, it's ba, 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 ba. So we answer the questions correctly, right? But we're not in this. But we know how to answer the questions. And there's nothing wrong with being able to answer the questions, but the questions aren't the point. They point you to the reality of life. But we stop at answering the question, instead of the question being a means that takes us to the very thing of life. And the Bible says, if you believe, then you will have life eternal. Not when you get where? To heaven. Now. So you've also taught, we survive here, we wait here, and please take me to heaven because this sucks here, right? And we're just waiting for heaven. But no, Jesus said, I'm the man of heaven. Heaven came to earth. God's trying to get heaven in you. Do you want heaven in you? Do you really want heaven in you? Because for heaven to get in you, earth's got to get out of you. And you're all born of earth, like me, not eternal. So you can't have the eternal if earth's still there, right? He has to remove earth, implant eternal through this thing called belief. So this is our challenge, because I guarantee everyone in this room would say, yeah, I believe in God. Correct? And I believe in what he says. And I would then say, that's awesome, but the next challenge is, that's not enough. Because do you have what he said you can have through your belief? And is your belief changing and transforming you into the eternal life who is himself, Christ in you, being formed within you through this thing called belief. See, many confuse belief with a mental agreement with what it says in the book. I actually think that's just mental agreement with what it says in the book. I don't believe that's true belief. True belief is when you receive a living conviction of the Holy Spirit within you from what the book says. Now you've come into an absolute alignment with it, and it changes you, and you can live out different to what the book, now what the book says, right? So you receive the substance of who he is, what he says in you, and you live now from that. You see, mental agreement, you're always living towards. I agree with it, and I'm trying to lay hold of it, right? I'm moving towards the reality of what he says. True belief lives from what he says. So is that your reality? Do you live from who he is and what he says? Or do you live towards who he is and what he says? You have to ask that yourself. And you have to allow God to ask you the question that he asked Adam. Where are you, Steve? Where are you, Danny? Where are you, Dave? Where are you? Did God know where Adam was? So what is the question he's really asking him?
Does Adam know where he is?
That's good. Does Adam know where he is? And that's related to why God is asking Adam, where are you? What's just happened in that reality? God asked Adam, where are you? What has just happened? The fall. So, does Adam know what's happened? Well, he starts living differently. Something's happened, and he starts out of whatever's happened within him, starts living opposite to what he was. And God's like going, Adam, do you know what's just happened? Adam, where are you spiritually with me now? Because before you were here, now we're here. What's happened? Do you know what's happened, Adam? Where are you really within your relationship with your fellowship with me? The problem is, I guarantee you, we probably think we're somewhere where God's maybe saying you're actually not there. Now, I'm not saying we're not in life, but generally what happens is when I talk to people and myself, God had to show me where I was really at for you to really know where you're really at, not where you think you're at. And when God shows you where you're really at, you know what happens? What happens, Cena? Boom! You get a Samoan, boom! It's like running into Jonah Lomu, boom! You actually now can turn from where you thought you were at, and now you're turning towards him, and he starts showing you a whole other stuff, right? Where are you at in relation to what you say you really believe? Because my life and our life should reflect what we say, right? What Jesus said, he lived. There should be no gap between what I say and how I live. And God's love is covering the gap. But the gap is to becoming not wider, and it's not to stay the same. And that's what makes us authentic. And that's what makes you a hypocrite. If you say one thing and live another, you're a hypocrite. The world do not need more hypocrites. What they need to see is authenticity. What that means is just be honest. If you know you're not in that, say, I'm not in that. We had someone in our pod, was beautiful, say, literally came out and said, you know what? I know I'm supposed to be like this, but I just want to watch Netflix. She said, I'm going to be really real. And I went, yes! We got reality, we got authenticity, we got honesty. Because until you get real, God can't work with you. We're like Adam hiding, covered over. So, John 20, 31, come with me there. I'm just going to read out some four scriptures and then I'm going to keep unpacking this stuff. Right at the back, John 20, 30 to 31. Says this, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. So he did more miracles than what are written down. Pretty cool, right? Verse 31, this is the key. But these, the miracles, the signs, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So what was the purpose of the signs? That you would believe in him, that he is what? Who he is. So you can know who you are. Right? So the purpose of the miracle of the sign was not really the miracle of the sign. It was there to lead you to a greater reality. Tracking? So why have we made miracles, signs, and wonders a thing? Have we? Have we not?
Yeah.
Why do we make all the things that he did a thing and we miss him as the thing? I'm not saying we don't lay hands on sick people and see signs and wonders come, right? The Bible says they just follow those who know him, know what he says, believe, and live. I can't see one passage of scripture where Jesus makes the miracle bigger like we do. I'm not saying it's not awesome when God turns up in supernatural power. Don't hear what I'm not saying, right? But he doesn't make it the thing that we make it. He moves on because he knows it's not about that. It just comes forth from a follower who's moving in it because he's living for something far bigger than the miracle. And the purpose of the miracles is to lead you to believe in who he is and what he says. So through that belief, you can come into this thing called life. So we then have to ask ourselves the question, am I in life through my belief? Am I coming into more and more life in Christ, which is eternal, through my belief? Or am I the same person, even though I say I believe? It's not enough. And then you say, so what do you believe in? Well, I believe he's the Messiah. We found the one. Isn't that what they said? Philip said, we found the one. Come and see Nathanael. And then the one that he found said to him, how long have I been with you and you still don't yet know me? Huh? Yeah. I've been with you for 3.5 years, Philip, and you still don't yet know who I am. But you told me 3.5 years ago I was the Messiah. But the Messiah is telling you, Dave, you don't know me. Now, if the Messiah is telling you, you don't know me, and you tell him, I do, is there something wrong with that equation? And he's not telling you that you don't know me for hurting you, making you feel stink, making you shrink. He's saying you were called for more than this. Do you know where you are? Because I've come to bring you into this incredible life, this incredible freedom, take you out of darkness into light, that you would live lives of light and you become sons of light, not just say you're sons of light, but become the reality of what you say. So what you say and what is one. It's too much at stake to not really believe, guys. You're putting your whole life in jeopardy to just live in a mental agreement with what he says, who he is and what he says. And that's the challenge. It's so easy to go, yeah, I believe. Well, the demons believe. So it's got to be more true belief, not in what he does, who he is. See, we make it about what he does, and he'll even do it to try to lead you, but it's not the final point, right? Why did he heal the sick? Why did he feed the 5,000? It wasn't just to feed the 5,000. It wasn't just to heal the sick, but we make it all about the miracle. So when you look at that story, every message I've heard about that is not about the bread of life. It's really about the miracles. And wow, we fed 15,000 people. Yeehaw! Is it cool? Yes, it is. I'm not saying it's not, but it's missing the point. The point of the miracles was to ask you, do you know me? I loved him up until the point where he asked that question. Because then he went, right, now that I've got your attention through the miracle. That's how he gets your attention, right? He comes and he meets you in your place of need, whatever that is, to pull you out of your need into his reality for you. Otherwise, you'd never go. I wouldn't. You know my story. I wouldn't. I would have gone anywhere. I'd still be stuck in me, saying, bless me, help me for me. Not transition me out of that darkness, out of that earthly life, into this eternal way of being, where now it's all about him and it's all about others. But he's got to start somewhere. So he comes in your place of need. He comes and meets you in your earthly reality to pull you out of that into the eternal. I'd never be here in front of you had I known what I was going to go through. Never, ever. But then he takes you so far where you can't go anywhere else. He hoodwinks you and then he smiles. Gotcha. Where am I going to go? To whom am I going to go? Yeah, I know. Because you know too much. You're in too much life to walk away. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, right? You know there's more life and more life, more life. And the chaos is actually more life. He says, do you believe? Because believe is the door to this life. And so he comes and he does all what he does to bring you to this place of now. Now that I've got your attention and now that you're right in front of me and I'm right in front of you, do you know who I really am? Not here and here, but here. Where's the place of understanding? Where's the place of life? Why did Jesus say, why are you reasoning in your heart? Surely he would have said, why are you reasoning in your mind? Where's true belief? In the heart, right? So belief in the heart through revelation of what he says creates this life. Just come with me to John 14, 10 and 11. Anybody want to ask a question?
Don't be afraid. Questions are good.
John 14, 10 and 11. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. So what's the first part there that we are to believe in? From those two verses. What's first, works or what he says? So he declares a reality. If you don't get that reality, because you have spiritual ears to hear this, right? Then I'm going to do something in your natural that'll awaken you out of something that you'll believe in that. But don't sit there, because that should have been the first. If we're hanging around just there, we're never going to come into the life of what's here. And then you'll make that the thing that you chase. This is how you get a works-based gospel. This is how you get people that are all about external works, external realities. This is how you get the Signs and Wonder Club. This is how you get the schools of the Signs and Wonders. This is how you get all these things. Because our eyes are looking in the wrong place. These eyes are captivated by the miracle. These eyes aren't captivated by him. So what you live from is these eyes. That's why the flashy and the lights and the glitter and the glamour and the big all can look like it. Might not be him at all. Might be. But do these eyes discern it? Do you have, through true belief, the ability to discern what is God and what's not, whether it's big, small, or average? If you don't, you're probably aligning your life to something that's not of him. It's a form, but it's not him. There's no life in the forms, right? There's no life in copying. The life is in the imitating. Paul didn't say copy me, he said imitate me, which isn't copy me. You can't copy him. But what you can do is come into the life of him, which is the life in the Spirit, through what? Believe. So if you don't actually believe, and the man is saying, hey, imitate me as I imitate the Christ, through the thing that I became Christ-like, how are you going to fulfill that instruction? Do you believe you should be fulfilling that instruction? Look at the life of Paul, and that man is saying, hey, imitate this. Not become an apostle. Not copy me. My life is a prophetic demonstration of what a follower of Jesus looks like. Ooh. That's a tall order, right? But that's the upward call. Calling you out of your life, earthly life, and into an eternal life. That's what believe does. Believe takes you from earth and everything of earth and bloodline of earth and genealogy of earth and all the ways of earth and all the priorities of earth and all the dreams and the purposes of the earth, right? That life, which is flesh. Flesh is born of flesh. Spirit is born of spirit. And it takes you out of that flesh and it literally catapults you into the Spirit, where now it's the spiritual dimension. You see spiritual life. So in the Spirit, you no longer are entangled as you were here on earth, because you now have new eyes and new ears through this thing called believe to actually hear and see what he's saying. And you don't reject what he's saying because you're actually still living here. And you don't understand really anything, but you mentally agree with it. I'm going to read you this thing that I read the guys yesterday at breakfast. We stay stuck because we believe more in what we see through the physical than from what we hear through the spiritual. Because doubt is created in the eyes and faith is created in the ears. I can. We stay stuck in us, because we believe more in what we see. You take your P's and Q's from what you're looking at, not what he says. And what you believe, right? Then from what we hear through the spiritual. Because doubt is created in the eyes and faith is created in the ears. So that's that John passage there. Are you waiting for the miracle to happen so you'll believe because you're seeing? Or are you actually coming into life in Christ because you've heard what he said? And then you've got faith. You actually see who he is. But you're seeing from here, right? Because you believe. Believe and faith are connected. So I believe faith is birth. Now I have the substance of who he is in me. So he doesn't say to me, how long have I been with you and you don't know me? He says, I know you know me. You don't hear that because you're actually a person of faith now. Because you heard what he said. You weren't living your life from what you're looking at. See, it works across the board. If I say to you, you're a son of God, and you hear that, you'll never struggle with rejection. Never. But if you don't hear that, and you're still in your thoughts and your thinking and your seat, you will go, no, no, that's not true. Because you and you will actually be greater than the Word of God. So you as God will tell yourself that's not true, which is unbelief, which is actually sin. Right? That's greater than trying to live morally correct. Did I say that again? That is a greater sin, if I can say that, than trying to live morally correct. Unbelief. Now it's all sin, right? It all misses the mark. But we focus on behavior. Tidy yourself up. Do this. Don't do that. If you do this, and we're missing what's happening in the heart. So as long as you look good and you turn up and everything looks and you smile, you're good. But what's going on in here? Well, don't ask that question. Don't worry about that. Just turn up, look good, smile. It's everywhere. And love covers, because God says, I'm not interested in that, man. I'm interested in that. Did you hear what I said? See, there's a greater unbelief than doing something on a Saturday night you shouldn't be doing. Both aren't in alignment to him, but could you hear what I'm saying? One is more important than the other. You get one sorted out, watch that all dissipate and disappear. So, do you hear or do you see? Now, this is why the Bible says we live by, not by. So, faith is spiritual sight. Sight in that context is natural sight, temporal. So you take your P's and Q's for what's happening in the earth. Oh my goodness, he must be returning tomorrow. How many times have we said that? Because of what's happening in the earth. We're not hearing and seeing in the spirit and no, not yet. Because he said what he said, and through belief, we know. We don't know the exact, but we know. And our lives are preparing for what we know, not what we've read and agree with. He's coming back, yes, but my life looks nothing like it. Right? Yeah, I believe Jesus is returning, but my life is not ready. Then you don't believe. You mentally agree, but you don't believe. Because if you believe, you'll be getting on board with what he said. And he's telling you beforehand so you can be ready for when he comes back. But not just that, for everything. So why? So when things turn up, you overcome because you were ready. You had the substance and the life in you through belief to overcome all the trials and all the tribulations that you were going through. And if you didn't, in that moment, he graced you because you cried out. You weren't trying to fix the problem and fix the issue and lean on your own understanding and thoughts and trying to still control the narrative because you weren't in belief. You've left that position, right? Through what? Through this thing called belief. Through receiving a living conviction of who he is and what he says through the Holy Spirit, literally writing it upon your heart and your mind. And now you're actually becoming a transformed follower of Christ. You're not just a Christian who says, I believe. Which means you're not chasing the signs and the wonders and every next good thing that's coming. Right? It's this conference. It'll be it. And if we go from the big to the small, that'll be it. If we go from this to that, that'll be it. No, it's not. The best thing came 2,000 years ago. Wake up and hear the word of the Lord. And stop making it about the micro and get onto the macro. Because while you're making it about the micro, you're missing the entire point and you ain't getting ready for the macro. Right? We do that. We take the crumbs and we try to make it into a big meal. And we take the big meal and make it the crumbs. And we go, right, we've got 3 cups here, a couple of biscuits and that. For everybody. He's like, no, no, mate, that's not. That gets you into the big story. That ain't the story. Like the cross ain't the story. We made it the story. We made it the end. It's part of the story, but it ain't the story. Do you know the story? Could you tell me the story if I'm a non-Christian? Looking for life. I'm searching this city and this nation looking for life. And you say to me, no, come on a Sunday and hear this guy speak. No, I'm right here, right in front of you. Right now is your moment. And are you ready to share with me who is searching, seeking for life? Well, then let's walk together. If you don't know and I don't know, maybe someone does. His name's Jesus. He came 2,000 years ago. He's so awesome. But you become really scary, eh, Maddie? when you come into this reality. And it becomes this challenge because all of a sudden now you've got something that's burning in you. And for one, it's life, and for one, it's death. And this thing's just burning. It's on fire. And you know you didn't come into it. You know you didn't figure it out through reading the book. I'm not saying don't read the book. But don't read it. See it. Hear it. Read it out loud. You'll never see what's in here if you're just looking in the natural. You'll just go, another book. Yeah, love, lordship, worship. Know all about that. Move on. It's only 100 and something pages. You'll be done with this within like 2 or 3 days. And you'll have missed. Don't read any of the stuff that I've written and just read it like a book, please. You're doing God a disservice if you do that. Because it's not my thoughts on words like a book. He said, son, I'm going to show you, then I want you to write down what I show you in the spirit. So the whole thing is a journey of a process to take you out of darkness and bring you into light. Why is the great commandment the great commandment? Have you wrestled with that question on chapter 7 in the book of Bird's Eye View yet? Have you fought the good fight of faith for the reality of the question? Or is it like, I don't know. What about the renewing of the mind is for transformation? What about that one? Have you wrestled with the Holy Spirit around that one? Oh, I'm too busy, man. See, believe will take you from unbelief into belief, into belief, into belief, which takes you into life, which takes you into life, which takes you into life, which means you can live from this new life. What did Jesus say the work of God was? What were they all asking for? What should we do the works of God? He said to believe. And then what did they say? Perform another miracle so we can believe. I thought you just ate the fish and the loaves and we only had 2 and 5. And see that nature? Yeah. Perform. Perform for me. It's like you're at the circus and God's the monkey. Perform, God. Another miracle, God. Another miracle. God's like saying, you know what? Miracles won't change your heart. If I've done all these miracles and something's not changing, it's not the miracle, right? There's something deeper that I need to touch base with. It's actually you're in unbelief. But you say yes, but the reality is your heart says no. So you honor me with your lips. But your heart is somewhere else. And that's why I've said to people, and will continue to say, if your heart's not here, go be where your heart wants to be. You are free. Right? Get free of religion. Get free of religious spirits. Go be where your heart wants to be because you know who's going to meet you there? Amen. He'll probably more meet you there than here. Because he goes, your heart ain't here. I'm only meeting the people whose hearts are here. Now, because he's omnipresent and everywhere, he can meet you at the park. He can meet you at the pub. He can meet you at the cafe. He can meet you on the golf course. There's no point because you're not here. But we teach this, as long as they're there, because we're so physical, but where are they spiritually? They're somewhere else. Their heart is somewhere else. So they're going to hear it. No, they won't, because it takes spiritual ears to hear a spiritual word, and their heart is somewhere else. But it looks good if they're there. And I feel safe if they're there. And I can tick my Christian box if they're there. But nothing's happening. But I feel good about myself, right? Because I actually don't live from belief. I live from emotion. And I live from feeling good. And so as long as I feel good and safe, then everything's okay. And we're missing the entire point because that means I live from fear. And that means I'm not trusting God in whoever that person is. And I'm actually trying to be God, not release them to God and get on with being Christ-like. I hope you can hear that. I'm not saying you don't care for that individual. I'm not saying you don't pray. But But at the heart, which is the place of understanding, at the heart is the place of life, is required for true belief, and the heart's not interested, then no form of religiosity of trying to cram it down into that heart is going to work. Give the person the freedom that Jesus is giving the freedom, and you, to find him on that journey through true belief, that they come to that themselves, and then you'll see their life change forever, right? Not in a moment in time for you. And the very thing that you want and desire takes place. And you know what you no longer have to do? Trying to whip them up. Oh, what's happened? I get on the phone call. Oh, right? Because they're there. But it's all through this thing called belief. Who am I? What do I say? Defines who you are and how you live. Any questions? Any thoughts? Anyone feeling they need to do something about what they've heard? I'm finished. Then you, so God knows that, right? So God knows if we don't believe, God knows if we believe, and he's not afraid of we don't believe or we do believe. And we're not better if we believe than we don't believe. Right? His love has no favorites. It's not about performance, and it's not about behavior. It's just about getting real. So it's just like saying, God, I don't, like the person in the lounge. I know I should, but I don't want this. It was awesome. I think it's cool when people get real and authentic and say, I don't believe. God goes, great, that's cool, we can start there. Now, it's then just a matter of waiting, asking, seeking, and living. Right? So the worst thing you can try then do out of that is to then try to still be this Christian. So just live. Right? Be free from I have to be this or I have to be that or I have to do this, I have to do that. Be free of all that. And just live. And watch God come in his time. And it's really hard. I'm not saying that's hard to do, right? Because you're stuck. Because I think the greatest person that's in turmoil is the Christian who's raised in a reality that's still to be imparted within them. See, I never had that turmoil because I didn't care. I'm just going to live because I'm not interested. But someone that knows something in the mind, right? You've got the reality of life and death, and you've got heaven and hell, and I never had any of that, so I was free just to be wholeheartedly a good sinner. And the challenge is for people that are raised is that they really want to be good sinners, but they know it's wrong. And there's a real war going on where I didn't have that war. You know, because that nature in you, which roars against the nature of God, and it's a lordship issue. So ask him to reveal love and ask him to impart love in you. And that's where it comes to, right? So the first thing is the recognition of your true state. You have to be able to recognize where you're really at, not where you think you're at. Then you have to actually acknowledge it. All right, so you acknowledge it to God. It's really good if you acknowledge it to someone else as well that you trust. And then it's about asking for the revelation because you're actually aware of where you're really at without any fear of anything. Now, the problem is if you've been raised up in Christianity, you fear because you know you're supposed to be this and you're supposed to be that, and it's all of a sudden it's like, and you can even hear this message and go, oh, no, I'm supposed to be, and that's what makes it so tricky because you've got to hear it through the lens of freedom. If you don't really know freedom, it's really hard to hear the lens of freedom because all you hear is actually the opposite. And you feel condemned rather than life because you can't hear what's really being released. And that's how you can hear discipline as well. Right? So you hear discipline. Discipline is love. But the one that doesn't hear discipline as love. They hear it as punishment. And so it has you cowling in the corner. I love it when the Lord disciplines, because it leads to life, right? So on one aspect, I'm not saying this is easy to do, but we all have to chill. And you just have to actually then go, God, I'm here, and it's on you. What I'm not going to do is try to change myself. I'm not saying just be apathetic, right? And this is, I hope you can hear this. It's not that like go, oh, well, I'll do nothing. But what it is no, I'm going to ask, seek, and knock, and I'm going to pursue you to the best I can without heading into a religious reality. If I do, show me. And get others to show me. That's why we walk with others, and we've got to be open to others so other people can see things in you that you can't see. And they can say, hey, Steve, I see that you're starting to come under the bondage of religious spirit again while you're trying to get free. Now, Steve might go, who do you think you are? And hopefully Steve knows who I am, right? I've lived out who I am, so he sees something in me that he goes, well, he's only saying that because he loves me. He's not trying to hurt me. Then it can work, because Steve has given me authority to speak into his life if I see something that's not of God, not to punish him, but to see him released, because I want the best for my brother, as I hope he wants the best for me. But see, if we're still at the source and we're still at the core of that, we tend to get offended, and we tend to want to deflect, and we tend to justify, we tend to push away, and we tend to protect something that God wants to come and deal with. You see, the people that have journeyed through this reality more and more have nothing to protect and nothing to prove, so they provide another way for people that are yet to go through the way. The problem becomes when you haven't yet transitioned, you're sitting there going, I'm not sure about that. And in that wrestle is where the life is. So if we don't believe, that's okay. We all start in unbelief, don't we? And that doesn't mean God didn't love me. While I was yet sinner in the bondage of darkness, he loved me. In fact, I was created before that. So receive that. Receive the love of heaven. Allow your spirit, you know, and once again, this isn't something you just go, oh yeah, you know, it's something that happens within you through the posturing of yourself to receive. Great question, Lisa. I think the reality is, right, we're all honest. What we read and where we actually live, there's a gap between what we read about and where we're at. And that's okay. And that's the purpose of doing this thing called discipleship, which isn't just having gatherings, it's transformation. Right? So the purpose of gathering in the small is so you can get real, right? It's so you can take all the religious garb off with a group of people that I hope love you with the love of Christ and vice versa. So I can go to Rodney, this is my true reality. Help me walk this out. Right? He can't take it off me, but in declaring, it empowers others. And that's why he modeled what he modeled. Right? But we've turned it into a service reality. So we make services the point. I think we give discipleship lip service, but we say we do it. But there's no transformation, there's no discipleship taking place. You're just having good meetings. Whether you're in the big, small, home group, beach, wherever you are, the purpose of discipleship is transformation. If there's no transformation, then there's no spiritual discipleship taking place. Right? Go and make disciples. So that means we're to become Christ-like. If we're not becoming Christ-like more and more and more, then we're just having good meetings. We've gone nowhere. You know what all we've done is we're still on the same bus, but we've swapped seats. Yeah. And we think we got off the bus. And we think we're on another bus, but we just, all we did is move from that seat to that seat. We went from the front to the back. We're on the same bus, going the same thing, because it's not about an external change. It's about an internal shift through belief, not through mentally agreeing with words on a page and then living the opposite to that. And so, you know, you can think because I come to meetings like this, because I'm part of groups during the week, because I pray, that can all be just Christian tradition, learnt by rote, not commandment-infused, led by life. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it won't produce life. And Jesus said, your reverence for me is in traditions learnt by rote. He said, why do you neglect my commandments for your traditions? This can be a tradition. Is this wrong? But in and of itself, it doesn't produce life. So we don't gather here for the purpose of gathering here just to even meet one another and have a good time. We gather here together to meet someone who wants to do a work in us. If that's not happening, then we've missed the point of gathering. And what the church has done is we've made it about relational connection, and we call it community, and we've missed becoming the church. Like, you won't find the word community in the Bible. We've come up with it. And we've come up with it, and we've replaced church and what church means, the ecclesia, the called out ones, with community. So what we look for is good relational connections where we feel and like the people, and we've missed the entire point of why he said, make sure you don't stop gathering together. Because we lack belief. Because belief will bring you into fellowship, which is not physical relationship. It's spiritual relationship with God and the people. So it's not based on the people, it's based on God. So whether you like the person or not doesn't matter. Because your connection with the Father is greater. So when Chris annoys me, or he's painful, or whatever, or his personality's not mine, guess what? I can love him because I'm not here for this relationship. I'm here for fellowship, which means I have fellowship because that one informs that one. If I'm not in that one, good luck with that one. And so we can have this thing that's not based on whether I know him, whether I know his family, whether I know what he's going through. I'm not saying don't know those things, right? I'm saying they're not the point.
Yeah.
And when you do that, what are you doing? You're building everything from earth and the strength of earth. And all it takes is one thing of earth to get upset or offended, and the whole thing comes crashing down. Yeah. Now me and Chris are both hurt. Now we're divided. We're supposed to be walking as one because it was built on the wrong substance. It was built on earth through a lack of belief, but we thought it was of God. That's why there's so much offense in the body of Christ, and that's why so many people get hurt. Because we all come with our own expectations that we've created, expecting people to be something. Ah, if you're a senior leader, you should have arrived. Hallelujah. Somehow you don't struggle with sin. You don't struggle with anything because you've arrived, because you've got a position. And all the angels went, hallelujah. And God's like going, nah. Right? Because our expectations and our religious mindsets, because we lack belief, which brings us into true life, so we see it as God says it, and we love unconditionally, no matter what. So then we can restore. Oh no, wash your hands, get out of here. See what this does? This is the key that unlocks this life that is invisible but purely visible to the one who believes of the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, spirit is born of spirit. Those of the Spirit are like the wind. Nobody knows where they come, where they're from, but they're present, and then they go. And then they also have this power within them to live a kind of life that truly reflects God and what he says. But they don't think more highly of themselves. They know they're not in all things, but they have a hunger and thirst for what they don't know because of belief that brings them into the more than life. Amen?
Amen.
Done. Full stop. My wife's going, yes. All right. Continue with whatever, having a chat, whatever, your relationships. Have a cool week, guys. Grab a book, grab two or three books, get them out there, and we'll see you soon.